Welcome in to the Sports Objective. It's hard to believe it's the Keith Eau Claire Classic coming up tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, rather. And with this point now, we have a very special guest, and we're very happy to have with a first-year med student, very proud of her, Audrey LeClaire, daughter of Keith Eau Claire, for those that don't know. And Audrey, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's an honor to have you back.
Thank you guys for having me. I am glad to be back.
So we wanted to ask you, we're talking pre-show, but for those listening and watching tonight, and whenever they're watching or listening, how are things going with med school?
They're going. I'm in COVID med school, so we are online, and it's different, and it's a learning curve, but we're making it and making the best of the situation. But definitely stressed out, but I'm living my dream, so I cannot complain too much at all.
What do you want to do with your degree? What field of medicine do you want to go in?
I'm actually torn going in. I was kind of dead set on like pediatric emergency medicine. But I really do kind of also love sports medicine, orthopedics. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm keeping an open mind because with my luck, I'll have a specialty I don't want to go into, and that's going to be the one I fall in love with. So I'm just at this point, keeping an open mind about it all.
Yeah, I definitely, sports medicine seems to, when you think of your dad and all that, sports medicine is just immediately what comes to mind, but you do whatever feels right.
Yes.
Very excited to have you on. It's hard to believe the year, like every year seems to go faster and faster and faster. And here we are, another Keith Eau Claire Classic. I'm just so excited to honor your dad and what he and your mom and all of you, the whole family, means to Greenville. And how does it feel here? Another year's gone by and we have the Keith Eau Claire Classic.
It is crazy. It's also, I looked back and I can't believe how many years it's been going on. It seems like it started 5 years ago, but it has been so many years, and every year it's just as special. And it just means a lot to us. They don't have to honor dad that way. And we are so honored that they do. It means the world to us. And we just have so much love for not only ECU baseball, but the Greenville community as a whole.
Audrey, normally it's a team field, excuse me, normally it's a tournament field with, you know, three or four other teams. This year, because of COVID, it's just a traditional weekend series with Appalachian State, but still, you know, having the Keith Eau Claire Classic, couldn't let the tradition go without a year, even though you can't have the normal tournament.
Yes, and then we kicked off Mustache March, so just a lot of things going on this weekend, but it's really neat to have App and just the fact, too, that their assistant coach, Britt Johnson, is an ECU alum. It still kind of makes it special, even though it's not a field of three teams. It's just the one is still neat. And their head coach, of course, I know you guys have talked to him, but Coach Smith is just an awesome guy. And I think it's going to be a great weekend regardless.
Yeah, and also, what an appropriate time for this. You know, we haven't been able to have any fans to speak of in the stands. And this weekend, we will be welcoming back 30% capacity. So what a great time for that to happen.
Yes, and I hope the full 30% is there. So if everybody's listening, please, please, please.
Oh, there will be. Audrey, no worries there.
Audrey, let me tell you something. We gave away tickets, thanks to Ryan Robinson with ECU. He gave us four tickets to give away for Wednesday. That's the most retweets. I probably shouldn't say that, but that's the most retweets we've ever had in the history, 3 years now of the show, that we've ever had. So people are dying. They're dying to be in there in Clark Eau Claire Stadium. They want to see their Pirates play. I mean, who could blame them? I mean, we saw Davis Searcy. I saw him on Facebook. He was on a ladder to look over the fence last night so he could watch the game. That's the kind of passion. If anybody wonders why is it so special to be a Pirate, that's the kind of fans we have there, is to be climbing up a ladder so you can see over the gate, over the fence.
Yeah, I actually saw that picture, and the first thing that came to my mind was actually, as you know, my dad used to get tossed out of a lot of games. He loved to argue with umpires. That was kind of his favorite hobby, I would say. And back in the old stadium, they had the band tower, football tower, I don't know what it was, out in right field. And he would get tossed from games because it was before you could stream games. And he would go stand on top of the tower because he could see the field. So seeing him on that ladder, I'm like, man, it just brought flashbacks because I know that dad used to go out in right field and watch the games after he got tossed like that. So
that's awesome.
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. They didn't. They weren't as strict back then. Now you get tossed to a game. They have a law officer make sure you go back to your office probably. But Audrey, we had this conversation the other day with, I can't remember, maybe Dave knows, Bubba would know, but he's not on here right now. One of your dad's former players, about how it's amazing when you really look at the grand scheme of things, your dad wasn't a head coach that long. You know, East Carolina, Western Carolina, and the amount of guys he coached that went on to be in coaching, that went on to be head coach and assistant coaches, his coaching tree, there are people that, that coach for 50 years that don't have the coaching tree that your dad has.
Yeah. It, I mean, it's incredible. And it's even, for me, I think it's even more special that all of them have kind of found special teams, and it's, they're always so fun to watch. And it kind of is, when you look back, it's even for, I know us as a family, it's every year that he's been gone, it's like, oh man, like, I cannot believe that we're up to, I don't know how many years it's been now, 15 years. And it doesn't even feel like that long. And to think that he really didn't coach that long, it almost seems like he coached for 30 years. But it was only a few, but he made them count. So.
I just want to remind fans too, a little sidebar here. If you haven't done so, I've read the book twice, Coaching Third, Bethany Bradshaw. What a great book. I want people to buy that book. And I tell you what, the one thing that, one of many things I admired about your dad, and you know, because you were there with him, was the fact, I just can't imagine, and I haven't been in that situation, but I just can't imagine someone that was so positive through one of the most difficult things that you could ever imagine. And he was always positive. I mean, that still was something that inspires me, is that, you know, we always hear people say, no matter what you think is a bad day or what you're going through, there are people that are going through, you know, worse things. And just the fact that he was going through one of the worst things that could happen to someone, but yet he still remained positive all the way through, is just amazing to me.
Yeah. And it definitely inspires me. That's where, on days that I catch myself, even in med school, or just a something as simple as a workout, anytime that I get down and I'm like, oh, this is miserable, or why did I choose to do this? Or, you know, anything negative like that, I just take a minute and I'm like, you know what? Somebody else out there has it worse than me. And I'm in a pretty good situation compared to a lot of people. So I know that his mentality of that has kind of rubbed off on me, even in my daily life. So it's just incredible. I still am just in awe at his strength and perseverance that he had.
Audrey, you were, I don't know how old you were when your dad got sick, but you were a little girl. If it's not too personal, when did you realize personally how sick he was, and you know, how did you handle that news finding out?
For us, I was actually, and it's not personal at all, I have no issues talking about it. And if anybody ever has any questions about ALS, they're more than welcome to reach out to me. But for me, I was there, I want to say it was in 2001 or early 2002, late 2001, early 2002. My dad actually didn't feel that well. And so my mom was like, okay, like, just get in the shower. Maybe it'll make you feel better. He couldn't quite pinpoint exactly what was going on. And he'd already seen doctors and they'd thrown out the diagnosis. And so we kind of already had that in our minds, but he actually collapsed in the bathroom on my mom. And so she had to call 911, and I was about 5 or 6. And she had told me, you have to watch for the paramedics and like tell them that we're up here, because she didn't want to leave him. And so I was sitting on the stairs at the young age waiting for the paramedics. And that is something I will never forget. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. I had no idea what was going on. And I think that's when it kind of hit me that something was off, and that maybe things weren't going to be so okay. And that was actually the hospital stay that they had to make the decision of if he was going to be vented or not. So when he came home from that, that was kind of a whole change in our lives with the vent and the feeding tube and all of that good stuff. So that, I think, was the first moment for me that I realized things are different. But of course, also being so young, we easily jumped into a new routine and it just became normal for the next 5 years.
Yeah. And it kind of gave you the, I'm sorry, Kyle, I was just going to say real fast. It kind of gave you the path of what you wanted to be, right? I mean, your purpose in life because of your dad's diagnosis, it seems like.
It definitely did. And without it, and I say that all the time, without him going through what he did, I don't know that I would be where I'm at today. So it definitely had a huge impact.
Yeah, no doubt. As you know, you still talked about your dad's players and the assistant coaches, the impact he had on their lives. But obviously, you're his daughter, so, you know, and you're going to school to be a doctor now. So, you know, who knows? Maybe you'd have done the same thing anyway. But, you know, the fact that you dealt with your dad dealing with such a terrible disease at such a young age, now you're going to try to save other people's lives.
Yes. And honestly, it brings me no greater joy. We had such a great team of doctors and nurses and speech therapists and physical therapists and the entire healthcare team that supported us, and they poured into us and our family. It will bring me no greater joy to be that for other people and just to give back and to serve them in that capacity, as many did for us.
Have you spoken to any of the healthcare providers, doctors, et cetera?
I have. I'm actually friends with a lot of the nurses that he had, a couple of them. We're still Facebook friends and they remain close to our families. And then another close friend of ours was Dr. Rick Figler, who was in Greenville. He's actually up in Cleveland now at the Cleveland Clinic. And we haven't talked to him in a while, but he was another one that was just a very close family friend and always there if we needed anything. But of course, his speech therapist and physical therapist, Sherry Odom, they became close family friends. Stuart Robertson and Sherry Odom became a part of his long-term caretaking team. So family friends first and then in the caretaking team. And we still see them at least once a year. So we definitely keep in touch with a lot of them.
That's great. What kind of reaction did some of the doctors and nurses give you when they found out you were going to medical school? Did they tell you were crazy and don't do it?
No, they didn't. They didn't. looking back now, maybe I wish they would have. Kidding, of course. But
that's what my wife does. Anytime anybody tells her that they want to be a teacher, she says, "Don't do it."
No.
That's when I say that I love emergency medicine. That's when people are like, "No," and I'm like, "No, I do." I worked in an ER for 2.5 years and I love it. But nope, nobody has yet. And I think everybody in med school's a little crazy, but hey, that's what got us here.
Maybe you should be an ER doctor, Audrey. Those are hard to keep around.
We need to have Dr. John Bream. Where are you, Dr. Bream? We need to have him on.
Yeah, Bream loves it too. He's a bit of a nut. Are you a bit of a nut? I mean, that may be what it takes.
Probably. I love the adrenaline rush of it. So that might be what it is.
Yeah.
One of the things I remember about your dad was his mental toughness. And I was talking about like baseball wise, but I'm sure personally too. You and JD, I would imagine you guys have like tremendous mental toughness and just like that to grow up and be like the son and the daughter of your dad. You'd have to be like, the fact that LeClaire is your name, you have to be mentally tough, right?
Surprisingly, we get a lot of that from our mom. Just even sports like horses, I would fall off and she'd be like, "You're fine, get back on. Like, you're good." JD with baseball, he'd get hit by a baseball. He's like, "Ah, you're fine. Like, just shake it off." So I think we actually got that more from her. She's actually super tough and it's a loving tough. But dad was more laid back with us. Mom was kind of the one that's like, "You're all right. You're not, stop the crying. You're fine."
Audrey, we have some folks tuning in tonight viewing. They wanted to reach out to you. So if we can put those comments, Bubba. Hal Banks says, "Watching and picking South Carolina." So we'll say hello there. Hey, Hal. And Patricia Bonner says, "So proud of you."
Miss Patricia, that was actually one of Dad's nurses. We love her so much.
That's so awesome. It's so sweet to see how many people do you think How many? I mean, I don't know, like numbers wise, but it's got to be in the thousands that he really touched. It's hard to, I guess, from your standpoint, it's hard to fathom how many people, how many lives he's touched. We talked about the players, but just there's so many fans. I mean, you mentioned the name. Anytime the name.
Well, look at the three of us, Dave. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But just the fact, anytime that those two names are mentioned, Keith LeClaire, people just automatically stories, or they'll be talking about the impact of baseball, or they're talking about his, like, just like his fight there with ALS and his faith with Christianity. I mean, there's so many different things. You can't define Keith LeClaire on one thing. That's another thing that I thought about preparing for the interview tonight.
And I say this all the time, I truly believe that God, went before he was born, God knew that that was going to be his path of life. And he knew that it was going to happen. And I think the neat thing is I don't feel that personally that he would have touched as many people had he not gone through what he did. And I truly feel that he used it to show his testimony and to just be a light, first for Christ and then second for others. And just truly, if he had not gone through his battle with ALS, I don't think he would have impacted as many people. And of course, you know, he probably would have impacted players and not kind of been that role model for them still. But as far as others, I don't know that he would have reached. And I do know that he has a devotional somewhere, and it kind of says that if he had not, or if he can bring one person to Christ through his battle with ALS, then it will all be worth it. And that was what was most important to him. It wasn't even reaching all of these people. It was just, if he could just lead one, then he would have felt like his mission was complete. And he lived that. He lived it every day. And he kind of, I know he talked about one time climbing that mental mountain every single day and when he got up. And it's, you know, as bad as it was, I don't think that he would have had it any other way.
And guys, talking about the impact, you know, I think back to 2002, that season, the Conference USA tournament at Granger Stadium, all the t-shirt jerseys with 23 and LeClaire on the back, and those are still being sold here nearly 20 years later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's still his story, and people still care about him just as much now as they did 20 years ago. Audrey, you were talking about his faith, and, you know, if he could lead one person to Christ because of having ALS, then, you know, it was worth it. Let me see if I can word this right. Did the faith get stronger during ALS, or was he already of that faith before he got sick?
So he had already given his life to Christ, but for him before, it was, and he'll say it, baseball family faith. And it was kind of in that order. And then when everything got taken away and he was truly rock bottom on his knees, that's when God really started working, and it flipped to faith, family, and then baseball. And it's kind of one of those things to, you know, I still think that he could have sat there and sulked and been upset about it and been angry at God. But instead of doing that, he turned it around and he was like, this is your purpose for me. This is your purpose for my life. And I'm going to do what I can with it. And so it definitely, ALS definitely strengthened it 100%.
You mentioned your brother earlier, and what's he doing now? And I would imagine for Ian, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine him being the boy, and, you know, you mentioned him playing baseball, I bet he felt a lot of undue pressure on his shoulders over the years.
He absolutely did. And I will never know how much pressure that he felt. And, you know, for me, I feel like it was a different, I never really had pressure to live up to anything, but he is actually graduated. He graduated in December, didn't even tell anybody it was his graduation day until after. He goes, nobody's celebrating my college graduation. And mom's like, you didn't tell anybody. So he graduated from Southern Wesleyan University with a degree in environmental sciences. So he is currently applying for jobs, and he's actually getting married in the fall. So
wow.
He's got big life changes coming up.
That's awesome to hear. That's so awesome to hear. You know, that you always wonder when all that was going on, and then, you know, to now, like, what has happened to just not only this case, but just anybody like that you've come cross paths with, or and as you know, with the Pirate Nation, with our fan base, that you guys are always our family, and you wonder what happened to them, what happened to former players, coaches, you know, the families of the coaches and those kind of things. So it's really awesome to hear that he's doing very well.
Yes, we still think he's going to end up as the next crocodile hunter. He loves to be outside. He loves animals, loves snakes and deer and turkeys. So we always joke around that he's going to end up with his own TV show one day. But for now, he's just going to stick with the environmental sciences. So we'll see. We'll see what he ends up as.
Well, that's awesome. An animal lover. You mentioned in the past that you've gone to Omaha. How many times now have you been to Omaha?
Twice. I have been twice.
You've been twice. Okay. Did you get to go? When did you go? What years?
I went 2013, and then I went 2019.
Okay. So you were there for Michigan?
I was, yes.
How was that? How was the experience being there and rooting on the Wolverines?
It was incredible. And setting out, we didn't know how long we were going to be there. We went ahead and just booked for a week. And, you know, our trip out there was mom could kind of compares it as the road to Omaha with teams, because it didn't go as planned. And we had a lot of unexpected turnarounds. And we ended up driving literally halfway across the country from South Carolina to Nebraska. But it was absolutely incredible. I got chills when I first went in the stadium in 2013, and I got chills when I walked in 2019. It's just an incredible place to be, and it's so neat just to be around fellow baseball lovers and people that all have so much passion for the game. And there's really nothing better than you just watch baseball all day. There's two games a day. I think it's two. Anyway, you watch baseball all day, you eat good food, you hang out, you shop. So it's an incredible experience. And I know that the emotions when ECU finally makes it are just going to be an insane amount and incredible to see. So,
yeah.
Speaking of a hard ticket to get.
I know, really.
Well, what I've been saying all along is, you know, this battle – to make it to Omaha, it goes back even further than your dad, goes all the way back to Coach Overton. Even before that, all these regional appearances without going to Omaha. And you know what we're going to do, Audrey? When Cliff gets us there, we're going to win the damn thing.
Oh, they're not going to give any less than 110%. I have no doubt about that.
And I think we're going to get
there. No pressure, man.
I'm telling you, I believe in our baseball program, and I think we'll get there sooner rather than later. You wouldn't surprise me if we do it this year. Wouldn't surprise me if we do it next year.
Don't get me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble with Cliff.
Are we talking about Omaha?
Cliff, hey, look, not Audrey.
Look, you know what? Your dad talked about Omaha constantly. So I'm doing nothing but what your dad would do. he would be talking about going to Omaha and look, and I think part of the problem with that is, and the reason Cliff gets aggravated with it, is this year's team has nothing to do with all those other teams that haven't gone to Omaha. This year's team can do nothing about but doing what they can this year. And I think the pressure ends up coming from fans who, we ain't never going to get to Omaha. Well, this year's team has nothing to do with any of the other teams that didn't go.
Exactly. Great point, Kyle. Yeah. That speaking of Cliff, I was going to ask about Cliff. I asked him about the Keith LeClair Classic last night. He was devastated. He told me that you know how much I think of him, but you know he was so hurt. But the one thing that I love about Cliff is the fact he is such a huge Pirate, and it's not like he took the accountability responsibility for the loss. And going back to the coaching tree. How cool is it that a disciple of your dad, a player of your dad, is coaching the team?
It's so neat. I actually remember when we had kind of heard rumors back when he was going to get hired, and Mom and I and JD were kind of like, I don't know, like maybe he really is. And you always kind of hold your breath because you never know. You just read things and you don't know how true they are. But she was ecstatic. when she found out that he was going to come back. And she was even more honored that he asked her dad's number. And it's really special for us to see him because he really does embody everything that dad envisioned and more. He has just done an incredible job, and he loves ECU.
No doubt. How obviously, you know, Cliff keeps in contact with you. How's the current administration done? Do they reach, you know, with the Keith LeClaire Classic, do they reach out to you guys? Does your mom ever hear anything from Gilbert or Ron Robinson or anybody?
So mom handles all of that. I actually think it's more kind of, she communicates with Cliff back and forth. But we see everybody when we come into town. And we have met John Gilbert, and he is such a nice person. And I really feel like he loves the university too. So everybody is just so nice when we come back. And of course we love being back and meeting everybody and seeing everybody.
Good deal. And unfortunately, I'm assuming you're not going to be there tomorrow. So you're going to miss this year's Classic.
I have an exam tomorrow, so.
Okay, we'll excuse you this year.
But I'm sure we're probably going to try to make it back at some point this year.
Yeah. You hear just a few minutes ago, you referenced Britt Johnson, obviously East Carolina alumnus, Eastern North Carolina native, absolutely loves the Pirates, even though he obviously wants the Pirates to lose three games this weekend. But you know, I was talking to him earlier, and you'll hear that, folks, here in just a few minutes. He was talking about what an honor and privilege it was to recruit JD when he and Kermit Smith, that is, App State's head coach, were at Lander.
Yes, they mean the world to us. And I think it was kind of an honor for JD. He loved meeting them and sitting down and getting to know them. Unfortunately, they left for App before he got to play for them, but we think the absolute world of them. Both.
Yeah, Bubba, she had mentioned Britt earlier, and I had totally slipped my mind that he was one of your best friends.
Well, that very fact.
Something else, Dave, that I wanted to bring up while we're on JD is you're talking about his passion for the outdoors and hunting. That's something that he shared with your dad, correct?
It is. He's probably a little more into it than dad was, and it was just because dad really didn't have the time. So anytime summer when he wasn't out recruiting, and then in the fall, kind of after fall ball concluded, Christmas, Thanksgiving, he would go try to deer hunt. So he loved it, just being outside. And I think, I don't know, I guess there's something about sitting in a tree stand quietly. I'm not very good at it. It's not my thing, but he and dad both shared that love of the outdoors for sure.
Did you go with your dad hunting any, Audrey?
I did not. Nope. That was not my thing. I was actually the one crying to get on the bus with him. And my mom's like, please. So she just stops crying, like, take her on the bus. But no, my brother was the hunting one. I was the one that was always crying. So.
So does your brother deer hunt? Or does duck hunt? What kind of hunting does he enjoy?
Everything. His favorite is deer. Second favorite is turkey. And then he's just now started getting into duck hunting a little bit.
Look, you tell JD, you tell your brother, if he wants to really hunt, and he ain't done no hunting until he gets him some Walker hounds or some black and tans or maybe some blue ticks, and he gets some old rednecks, and he gets a pickup truck and a dog box, and he goes in the woods in the middle of the night, and he goes raccoon hunting.
No, that is mom's one. She's like, please, just, she does not want him to get into that. she's like, I'm good with the deer, the turkey, and the duck. Let's just keep it at that.
You got to go coon hunting. If he doesn't, look, coon hunting is so unique. You either love it or you hate it. The one thing I liked about it is it's the one hunting you can do. You can talk all you want. You don't have to be quiet. So you can sit at the truck and just talk to the guys, drink a beer, and then wait for the dog to tree, and then go walk through the woods.
Yes.
So it's different.
Definitely different.
No doubt. So do you think, before we let you go, we've got a few minutes. I know you've got a big exam tomorrow, so we could talk to you all night about baseball and life and everything. But we want to put this comment up here. He says, Keith was still as an inspiration to me and so many people. This is from Hal Banks. Coaching third is a very inspirational read. And I agree with you, Hal. We were talking about earlier for people that are just tuning in and maybe listening, but it's a great book. Bethany is a friend of the show. Fantastic. And I know that that book is really good. In fact, I thought about that about a week or so ago, knowing that the Clear Classic was coming up, the very fact that I need to read that again. It's an easy read. It's just tremendous.
And where can you get Coaching Third now? Is it available? Audrey, do you know where the book's available at now?
I want to say Amazon.
Amazon, definitely, yep.
Okay, Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I would bet you, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet you UBE has it. But okay, so Amazon for sure.
Yeah.
Just Google Coaching Third, and I'm sure that'll pop up different places where you can purchase it. But it definitely, if you're an East Carolina fan, or even if you're just looking for a great book, I know that was one of the things, Audrey, for that book was a very effective for people to read his testimony and find out more about Christ. But also, I mean, just there's so many great life lessons and just I said a lot, but mental toughness about him that you'll find out more if you read the book.
Yes, definitely.
So this year is one of the year I said for, I'm putting myself on the spot, but I really believe we're going to have a super regional for the first time in Greenville. And so I'm glad to see more fans are going to be in the stands. And it starts with your dad's tournament. And I just think that's so cool what Kyle brought that up. I hadn't even really thought about that, putting two and two together. But just the fact that we can finally have fans for Keith LeClair Classic. And then we have a regional with that Keith LeClair, that Clark LeClair Stadium is going to be rocking, and then have a super regional where things are rocking. I'm telling you, I just feel really good about this year and the depth and tough loss last night, but that's just one loss. We've got plenty more games to go.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. And that's one thing, you know, that I know that Dad always kind of tried to remind players is certainly one game's not going to define your season. And it's all about how you respond and you bounce back. And, there's 56 games for a reason. And each game you can learn from it and you can get better. And I don't know. I still think these boys play with a lot of heart, and they've shown that in previous games too.
No doubt. Everybody get their shots so we can have a lot of people in Omaha. We have a lot of people at a regional, super regional. Of course, we'll have a lot of people probably trying to get in tomorrow, all weekend long. I think people are probably going to be begging to get in, climbing the ladders again to see over the fence. But in fact, I think, Kyle, they're allowing people to tailgate, or groups of people, like 10 or less. So
I have no idea, but I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, Bubba knows about that. So, but anyway, Audrey, thank you so much for coming on. We'd love to talk to you more, but I know you have the exam, and I'm sure you're going to be, are you going to be up all night? Do you have a pot of coffee brewing, or what do you?
I am not an all night person. I kind of, the latest I stay up is two a.m. If even that, I'm kind of
pretty,
a
that's pretty late.
I'm normally like 11 p.m. I'm yawning and I'm ready to be in bed. But I'm an early riser, so I'll get up early. That's kind of my. I've not pulled an all nighter yet. I pulled one in undergrad, and I said never again. So,
Audrey, as we let you go, do you have any parting words for Pirate Nation and any of your family and friends back in Greenville that might be watching?
First and foremost, I just want to thank everybody at ECU and Pirate Nation as a whole for the support and the outpouring of love that they showed my family when Dad was battling ALS, and even now to this day. And I just also just want to encourage everybody to support these guys. I know for me, it's tough being in school with COVID, but it's got to be even more tough on these kids. And that's kind of what they are. They're kids. They're young. And I think people forget that at times. But just support these guys and support the team, because I know it's tough on them. Things are definitely different. And don't let one bad game affect anything. Just keep supporting them. Keep showing up. Keep being loud. And I think this team's got something special, but I just thank you guys again for having me on. I always appreciate it.
No doubt. Hopefully we can have some brooms and we can be sweeping on Sunday afternoon. That's what I'm hoping for.
I know.
Thank you. Good luck to you on the exam, and I know you do well, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
No doubt.
Thanks a lot.
Audrey Claire, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, that's Audrey LeClaire, of course, daughter of Keith LeClaire. So happy to have her on. And of course, I know she's going to be studying for the exam. Very excited to have, obviously, a preview of the Keith LeClaire Classic. And I know we're ready to go to that in just a second, Bubba, whenever he's ready. With that, with the assistant coach, his good friend Brett Johnson, will be doing that whenever he is ready to do it. And I'm so excited, Bubba and Kyle, about the very fact of the Keith LeClaire Classic coming to Appalachian State.
Yeah, Appalachian State this weekend. It's a big series. Lost Old Dominion last night was tough, but you're not going to win them all. Second loss of the year. You know, to be down by three runs in extra innings and to come back, get it down to one run, have a man on second, just shows the kind of heart these guys play with. So, no, this team is a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, two losses so far on the year. You ain't going to win them all. It's not football. So just the way we fought last night just shows the heart this team has. And hopefully we'll take three this weekend.
No doubt. It's going to be an interesting series. And I know we're going to do well. And we have the pitching for it. We have the bats for it. And they'll be the one thing that you know about a Cliff Godwin team, they will be prepared. And Jeff Palumbo and Jason Dietrich, all the coaches and staff, they'll have them well prepared. So we know that that's going to be the case. We know that we'll have 1,200 people in the stands and that there are going to be people that are all over the place.
Yeah, how cool is that going to be to have 1,200 people in the stands again? You know, probably 1,200 people would be considered a disappointment for the Keep for Clear Classic, but it's going to be so cool to hear the fans, to see the fans, for it to have an atmosphere. I would imagine that's going to be one of the loudest 1,200 people you ever hear in your life Friday night. There's going to be a lot of people that that's their first time, you know, except maybe going to a restaurant or something. That's their first time doing anything like that in a year. So there's going to be some emotion let loose tomorrow night, and hopefully it'll coincide with a nice Pirate victory.
We're going to have the time of our lives this weekend, whether you can be at the games or not. Some of us have to work, so that would be the case, and some of us won't be able to get in. But
well, yeah, 1,200 people, you know, you got a lot of people that just don't qualify because so many people buy multiple tickets. That it's not, you know, 1,200 fans that are going to – well, let me rephrase that. It's not 1,200 different Pirate Club members that are getting in. It's, you know, people buy multiple tickets. So it's really – it's a limited crowd, but that's fine. I'm just glad the ones that can get in are going to be there. And if you can't go, hey, by the way, if you're listening and you can't go, make sure somebody's using your damn ticket. There's only going to be 1,200 people there. So if you can't use your ticket, give it to somebody else. Dave, I think you muted yourself.
Yeah, sorry about that. We're very excited about it. And by the way, the games are going to be on ESPN Plus. So you'll be able to see those games. And obviously, we'll have basketball. We have basketball today, tonight, and we have being Thursday night, and then we'll have it again Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and I believe Sunday's game is
going to be on ECPirates.com.
Correct.
That's right.
Friday, Saturday will be on ESPN Plus.
There we go. And that's right, because we have Cincinnati coming to town. So we'll have the last two regular season games. We'll see about the tournament next week for sure, but very excited about
it. Are we going live with Brent, or is this something Bubba recorded earlier?
It's what he recorded earlier. So we're
waiting on Bubba to cue it up. Bubba must be being distracted. He must have home duties to do. But bear with us, guys. We'll have the interview with is it with Brent or is it with Kermit?
It's with Brett Johnson.
Assistant coach Brett Johnson, former East Carolina player, and good personal friend of Bubba Rosenbaum. So stay tuned for that to get the Appalachian State perspective of the series this weekend. And also, I'm sure they'll talk about Brett's relationship with Keith.
No doubt. We're very excited about that. By the way, while we have a chance, let's talk about pgxgloves.com, Kyle. I got some great gifts for my son for his birthday, and I don't want to say what they are because he's listening or potentially listening, but sure. Go to pgxgloves.com. They have all the kind of cool stuff right now, and they're a sponsor of the show. We want to thank Mark Minakazi. Appreciate him sincerely for all what he's done. So any little bit I can do to get back to pgxgloves.com, of course, I'm going to do that. And Kyle, they have everything, don't they?
Yeah, you get to custom-made gloves. Again, I keep preaching it as we're heading towards the spring. We got a lot of golfers out there. Go to pgxclubs.com. Get yourself some custom-made golf clubs. Look like the star of the golf course as you have your own custom golf clubs. Don't forget about the swag, Dave. They got T-shirts. They got hats. Yep. They got pirate theme merchandise. They got their cool logo with the lion and the sunset. Go to pgxclubs.com. Put in code ECU and save yourself 25%. And hey, Dave, you know what you can do when you're wearing those PGX gloves? You can go over to the next level and wear your PGX gloves and take some batting practice.
It's really exciting because with that very thing, you have people. Next Level, by the way, is fantastic. Trent Brent, his wife, Danielle, they have a lot of people there. They have a lot of former Pirate players and people that are Pitt County kids that have gone on to different colleges around the state and beyond, and they're doing very well. Next Level is exactly what it says. They'll take you to the next level because they work very hard. This Sunday, they have a really big event on the 7th where they have a clinic there from 10:30 until 1. Right before they open at 1 o'clock on Sunday, but they're doing a special clinic, and you need to call 756-NEXT, 252-756-NEXT, and give them a call and see if there's any. Those clinics, Kyle, such a popular place, sell out. I haven't checked, but I'm not sure if they have any spots available. But if they do, they'll definitely make you feel like family, and you can join them Sunday, 10:30 to 1. It's for 8-year-olds and 9-year-old boys for baseball. I'm looking forward to my son, Alexander. We're taking him on Sunday morning.
Yeah, Dave, and no doubt. And Les Bubba's going to be joining us here in a minute. We had such a great show with Audrey. Let's not ruin it here by just killing time. You want to just have the Britt Johnson interview as part of our post-game basketball coverage? Because I don't know where Mr. Rosenbaum has gotten off to.
I don't know. We can talk about there's a couple other things to talk about, of course.
Well, then let's talk about them, damn it. at this point, we're just killing a great show.
Well, it's all good. We've got we do have a couple things we can talk about. We actually have some football news to talk about. As the Pirates bring in Coach Luttrell. He was actually the Norfolk State coach, and
former head coach at Norfolk State, leaving a head coach job at the FCS level to at an HBCU to take
that's Luttrell Scott.
Yeah, to take a inside receivers and tight ends coaching position here at East Carolina. Not something you see every day, but you know, lots of times it's hard to move up the FCS coaching ranks, particularly from an HBCU to FBS, even as a head coach. So. Is sometimes you just want to get in on a good FBS coaching staff to advance your career at the FBS level. And you look at some of the hires we've made during the offseason. We've lost a couple of coaches. We let one coach go. But I really like the hires Coach Houston has made. And, you know, it really kind of shows the confidence these assistants have in him. When you have a guy giving up a head coaching position, you have a guy leaving a stable program that goes to bowl after bowl down at Georgia Southern, to come here to East Carolina to coach for Coach Houston, who hasn't posted a winning season yet. It shows the faith that those guys have in him to leave those jobs to come to East Carolina. So I think we're fixing to blow up, guys.
Sounds good to me. And with Coach Mike Houston, we'll find that. All right. Let's actually we're ready now. I believe Bubba's back with us now. And Bubba, you ready for that interview?
Yeah, just one moment.
All right. We're getting that ready queued up. And in fact, it was a preview of Appalachian State. Bubba had a chance to talk to
Rick Johnson. Basketball game tips off in 6 minutes, Gus.
Yep.
So, just saying.
All right, here we go with that interview Bubba has. We'll do that. We'll do that right now.
Who happens to be a very good friend, but also the recruiting coordinator for the Mountaineers. In at Clark LeClair Stadium, it is the Keith LeClair Classic, the App State Mountaineers coming to town. And right now to preview that matchup, very excited to welcome in a guy who happens to be a very good friend, but also the recruiting coordinator for the Mountaineers. Welcome into the show, Britt Johnson.
Bob, good to be with you, man. Really excited to be able to get on the podcast.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on to talk about this weekend series. Obviously, it's one that has a tremendously special meaning to you. Not only are you getting to play against the top 20 program, but you're getting to come home to your roots, obviously wanting to win three baseball games. But just talk about the start. The Mountaineers are off to. You guys are 6-2. And if you go back to last season, you've won 17 of your last 25. So it seems like some of those things that you and Coach Smith and staff have really been trying to implement over the last several seasons are really starting to take hold.
Yeah, last year we started out 11-6 when pandemic hit, and now we're 6-2. And in those eight losses, four of them have been walk-off losses, and two of those walk-off losses have actually been in 15 innings. So we've been extremely competitive the last 2 years. It was really disappointing the year ended when it did. I thought as far as the process of your program, we were in the process of learning how to win. I know a lot of people sometimes think learning how to win, what does that even mean? I mean, it's really a thing. And I thought we won some games that we wouldn't have won in previous years. And we lost some games, like I said, with three walk-off losses last season. And it was just we were really starting to get to that point where we were going to find out what kind of team we were. We were heading to Texas State when everything died down, and we had both won, I think, six or seven in a row at that point. And it was exciting to get to go. We were excited to go down to Texas and find out what we were made of. And I kind of feel like we're in the same position now. We're 6-2. We've played pretty well. Yeah, like I said, we had a walk-off loss, and then we had one game where we just got flat beat. And now all of a sudden we get to come to Greenville, play a top 20 program in a really hostile environment where there's going to be more fans than we've seen in a long time. And we're excited to get down here and see what we're all about.
One of the things that really kind of elaborating even more on what I'm saying regarding your program taking hold and developing the things that you want there in Boone, you've played from behind at least a few times already this season. You rallied in that walk-off loss, trailing 5-1 early against Winthrop, unfortunately unable to close the deal. But then you had a 4-1 deficit after six innings at East Tennessee, came back and won, scored 1-1-2 in the final three to win it. And then also against A&T in one of those victories, and you trailed 5-0.
Yeah, you know, that's where I see things really changing. In previous years, just flat out honestly, we'd have lost those games. And I've never had a doubt in any of those games. Like, are we going to win them? I don't know. But I know we're going to come back and we're going to be in the game at the end. One of the things that Coach Smith is really big on is finishing. And every single day in practice, towards the end of practice, he blows an air horn. And the air horn is just something for the guys to hear. And it's just a signal for, like, hey, it's time to finish. It's time to mentally lock back in. It's easy in practice sometimes to lose your focus. And the finished part of a game for us is the 7th, 8th, and 9th, which we've outscored us this season so far in those three innings, in the 6. And that's just part of what we do with our program. Everybody does different things. And our big thing for finishing is in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And obviously, when the air horn blows at practice, it's just just the thing that we do to they hear to lock them back in. And it's something that we've really bought into, you know, and in those games, you know, we gave up 5 in the first to Winthrop. We had scored 1 in the first. We were down 5-1 and we had 8-6 lead in the 8th, and we ended up losing. Had a 9-8 lead going into the 9th and lost 10-9. And, you know, at East Tennessee State, we were down 4-1 and we had really outplayed them. You look up at the board and we out hit them 12-5, and just happened to be that 3 of their 5 hits went out of the yard. So we were able to come back and win that one and get a big hit in the 9th. And those are just the small little things that you see. And it, not only is that part of learning how to win, but it also, every single time those little moments happen, there's 35 guys in the dugout that are starting to believe just a little more and a little more and a little more.
Let's take a look at the club offensively. I know when yourself and Coach Smith, when you guys were down at Lander, those clubs could always really hit. When you got to Boone, you knew it was going to take some time. You had to get your players in. Now through eight games this season, You're seeing a much better batting average. I know the batting average, of course, does not always tell the whole story, but through eight games, you're hitting .296.
Yeah, you know, at Lander, we were much more built for power. We would walk out and hit 100 home runs a year. One thing that we learned really quickly when we got to Division I baseball is not that many home runs are hit. I mean, you can hit some, but the pitching is really, really good. The defense is extremely special. You know, a lot of teams, to get a hit in the outfield, you better hit it, because those outfielders can go get it. And the infield defense is really good. So you better really hit a ball through the infield. You know, choppers don't create hits anymore. And so, you know, obviously we have hit much better this year. You know, Coach Smith does a really, really good job with our hitters. Ryan Smoot, our volunteer assistant, has come in. He's put in a lot of work with those guys. He's in the cage all the time with them, you know, by himself, late at night, you know, single 23-year-old. And the guys call him, hey, coach, you want to come pitch to us tonight? You know, he's able to do some extra work with them and all that kind of stuff. And we have gotten better. But some of that is just the fact that we have a lot of older guys in the lineup. We have a lot of guys that have seen a lot of at-bats. They've played summer ball. And all of a sudden you start looking and you're going, man, you know, all these guys, 300, 400, 500, 600 college at bats in their career. And you just get better and better when you see it day after day after day. And we've just got a lot of veterans in our lineup.
Absolutely. Nice segue for me, because that's one of the things that jumps out, having followed the program in recent years. Luke Drumheller, obviously Phillip Cole. Talk about some of those top bats that you guys bring on the table, or put on the table, I should say.
Yeah, obviously Drumheller's special. Coach Smith and Coach Aspergren saw him in a tournament at our place very early on in our career, and they really liked him, and we just pulled the trigger on him and offered him as soon as we could, knowing that if we didn't, he was going to end up somewhere else. And he was all about the Mountaineers and committed very quickly, and you know, got in his very first season and was a freshman All-American. I think he ended up hitting .337 that year, but with three weekends to go, he was hitting .374. And he was hitting over 300 last year. I think he's hitting around the .340 mark right now. Does a really good job for us in the two hole. And, you know, people always say hitters hit. And Luke Drumheller's just a hitter. You know, Phillip Cole has had the best year that he's had. We're eight games in. So when I say best year, I mean to this point that he has ever had with us. He was his freshman fall. He was unbelievable. And we're wondering, it's something we're talking about, you know, Phillip's he's been a two-way guy for us, and had a little hamstring early in the year, so we didn't want to push it and hadn't put him on the mound yet. And all of a sudden, he's having the best year he's had. So we're wondering if we're ever even going to put him on the mound. Is not being on the mound help him become a better hitter, a better defender, all of those kind of things, because he's able to concentrate his efforts on one part of his game. And he's been really good for us. So, you know, I didn't mention this name, but Andrew Greckel last year was a junior college transfer for us that was hitting .358, I think, when the season ended, with five doubles, a triple, and four home runs. And he's kind of gotten off to what he would consider a slow start. He doesn't have the batting average that he would want, but he's been able to really put together some good at-bats and get on base for us, although the hits aren't falling. And he is such a good hitter, they are going to start at some point. So when they do start falling, he's just going to add another dimension to our lineup that we're really excited to get.
Before we shift over and talk about the team defensively and obviously the pitching staff, talk about Alex Leshock. I know just seeing his numbers – we talked way back when he was a freshman coming out of, I guess, Marvin Ridge High School down in the Charlotte area. Tremendous talent, an excellent athlete who also played football. He's battled some injuries and different things throughout his career, but I know he's off to an excellent start, batting .400.
Yeah, he is. He led us in hit his freshman year. He's an interesting story because we were recruiting him in football and baseball. And, you know, If he was to go play football, we couldn't offer him any money in baseball. If he was to be a walk-on in both, there's some NCAA rules that are interesting. And, you know, it's funny. We brought him in for the Ole Miss game as a recruit for football. he went down and loved it. And the next weekend, football brought him in. We were playing Miami at home, and he kind of joked sometimes that when he saw Miami's guys on the field warming up, that's when he decided he was just going to play baseball. So actually, after that game, he came up and committed to us when the game was over in the parking lot of our baseball stadium after the Miami football game. And he led us in hitting his first year. And then the last 2 years has kind of battled a hamstring. Each year he's got a little hamstring tweak. He's a tremendous athlete, can really run. And that's really what his game is built around. And this year he's been able to stay healthy. He had a really tough year last year. He would tell you it was a really bad year, and it was. We had to take him out of our starting lineup. He was really struggling offensively, and him and Coach Smith got together, and with technology now, FaceTime and video and all that kind of stuff is so important. So he was able to go take his swings during the day, sometimes with Coach Smith talking to him while he was hitting, talk him through his swing, talk him through what he wanted it to look like. He came back this fall and was really, really good. And you're starting to believe as a coach, you're going, man, if LaShock can be good, we got a chance to, this is going to be a real boost to our offense and just our team in general. And then it gets to January and you're still wanting to believe, but he's had those 2 years with a hamstring and you're going, we got to keep that hamstring healthy. And knock on wood right now, he's been extremely healthy. Some of his hits, you see the 400 batting average, are just flat out his athleticism. He may hit a chopper, and if your shortstop doesn't come get it and get rid of it fast, he's safe. It's just a done deal. He runs that well. And he's just elite in center field. When there's a ball hit out to center field, it probably better go over the fence or it's getting called. And he's really changed our team defensively and offensively. I don't think we could have ever expected what he's doing offensively through 8 games. Really, really special. I think he's hitting 400 with like a 545 on base. And that's the most important thing for him. Obviously, 400 is going to be hard to keep. Nobody really hits 400. That's hard to do. But if he can continue to get on base at an extremely high clip, he just makes us so much of a better team because he's got a chance to score every time he gets on.
Defensively, things have been very clean thus far. 987 fielding percentage, just 4 errors in 8 ball games.
Yeah, we've played extremely well defensively. I really think that the thing that makes us what we are defensively, obviously you got to catch it and throw it, but we have a shortstop in Bailey Welch who's a senior and has played a lot of baseball, and he is just a vocal lead of everything on defense. Not let us take a mental break defensively. We are locked in the whole time. Obviously, we've got players that can catch it and throw it and do a really good job with that kind of stuff. But he doesn't let us take the mental breaks. And right now, we've played extremely well. It's going to be hard to continue to field at a 987 clip, but I sure do hope that we can, because, especially this weekend, East Carolina is just a team where if you make a mistake, they make you pay. And, it'll be interesting for us. This will be the, I guess, second time we've been on a natural surface. So, you take ground balls on turf all the time, then all of a sudden you get to a natural surface and you got to start thinking about bad hops and all that kind of stuff. And, a lot of people last year, we fielded 981 in our 17 games last year, which was really, really good too. And a lot of people were like, oh yeah, but y'all play on turf. You get good hops. And I just look at them and I'm like, 15 of our 17 games were on the road. So we'll be ready. We'll go out tonight. Clark LeClaire at practice at 6:15. We'll get out there tonight and get some ground balls and kind of get the idea how it plays. But the way that Joey Perry takes care of that field, it's probably going to be about as good a playing surface as you can play on for this natural.
Yeah, here in just a few minutes, we'll dive a little deeper into your thoughts on Cliff Godwin's ball club. But, taking a look at your pitching staff, I know you have a couple of tremendous lefties at the front of your rotation with Tyler Tuthill and also Quentin Martinez.
Yeah, two guys that are really, really good. Both of them have pitched a lot of baseball. Last year, Tuthill didn't quite have the year that he probably wanted to have, but one thing about it, he didn't pitch in the fall. And also, Martinez had thrown a lot of innings over the summer, so he didn't pitch in the fall either. And I really believe that with summer ball not really being a thing this summer, unless it was very local and you lived in the right place, those guys worked extremely hard this summer, came back and pitched really well in the fall. And I really think having a fall has propelled them into the spring. And they've pitched extremely well. Tut Hill has given up, I think, 3 runs in 2 outings. And one of those was a 2-run homer. The other one was a guy came in with a man on first and third, and the first pitch was a blooper to left field to cash in a run for him. He's been really, really good. And, you know, Martinez got touched up a little bit last week, gave up 5 runs, but continued to battle and kept us in the game and was still able to get 7 innings. So yeah,
that's one of the things that really stood out to me about Martinez's 2 starts against Winthrop, 7 shutout innings, just 3 hits. Then, like you just mentioned, against A&T, he gave up 3 early, but then still gave you 6 1/3.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. He gave up a 3-run home run to a kid who never had an at bat, and that being a really good hitter from A&T as he finally got to start and play every day, because we played him 4 times in a row, so we got to see him an awful lot. But you know, and then he gave up a solo shot. He had given up some hits, but it was 2 swings. You know, at that point, when we finished that game on Sunday last week, we had given up 11 runs at that point, and 10 of the 11 runs had come via the home run. So, you know, it was just one of those things. They put 2 good swings, and the other one was a safety squeeze on a bunt. And but Quentin really, really battled, gave us some length, allowed us to just go to our bullpen deeper in the game. And if we can get to Noah Hall, Eli Ellington, and Jason Kornatzer with a lead or in a tight game, I feel pretty good about what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And I wanted to talk about those relief options here in just a moment. But tell us about the Sunday role. Who's going to be the number 3 starter? Is it kind of up in the air at this point?
Right now, it's, you know, we had to turn in our rotation yesterday to Malcolm Gray, and we sent TBA. We don't know exactly what we're going to do. Trey Tuich was supposed to be our Tuesday starter, and because of the way Sundays have gone, we've actually had to pitch him 2 Sundays in a row. So he's an option, probably the best option that we would have. But we don't know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to see how the first 2 games play out to see how we want to handle that.
Now back to the bullpen. You mentioned Noah Hall, Eli Ellington. In addition to the two of them, who are some of the other top relief options?
Obviously those two, and then you got Jason Kornatzer, who's been pretty good for us. You know, he struggled a little bit Tuesday night, but he's been very, very good. His stuff was good. He just couldn't figure out how to get a 3rd out in the inning, which was, it's just part of baseball that's going to happen. We've also got Cy Smith, who was really, really good for us last year. And if we can get Cy going, his stuff's electric. And if you can add him to those 3 guys, it's going to be really good. And then we've just got I always call him the grizzled veteran, Andrew Papp. You know, he's in his 6th year, and he, you know, he has a 2.88 ERA, career ERA coming into this season. I think he's pitching at a 5.40 right now. You know, he gave up a run the other night, and people are like, oh man, so Papp gave up a run, and people have no idea that it was a bunt single when we weren't defending the bunt, a bloop single, a fly ball to center field, and then another bloop that our shortstop caught and the guy tagged up from 3rd base. And so he really did a good job the other night and actually but gave up a run. He's a guy that you'll see. He's just kind of a security blanket for us down there. He can pitch in so many different roles. He can come in, but he can close out a game. And he's just going to find a way to get get out. It's just what he does.
Coming into this weekend, obviously Pirates coming off a midweek loss to Old Dominion, 12 innings, 6-5 on Wednesday night. What are your impressions of Cliff Godwin's ball club, given that you've had the opportunity to obviously see him on film, scouting reports, and so on and so forth?
You know, it's interesting because film doesn't always show the whole story. So obviously we watched a lot of film, but with our game getting rained out last Friday, I went home and watched East Carolina and Georgia Southern on Friday night. And I think the very first thing that comes to your mind that film doesn't show in little 3 to 5 minute segments is just the toughness. You always hear Cliff talk about that, about his teams, and it's real. They are so tough, play so hard, execute at such a high level. If you take your defense and you stand in the wrong place on the field in the infield with your third baseman or first baseman, they're gonna bunt it. Then they're gonna hit and run. Then they're gonna slash. Then they're gonna bunt again, and they can just really speed you up on defense and force you into mistakes. And the thing that's so impressive about that is how they execute it at such a high level. Their bunts are extremely good, extremely well placed, like great pace on the baseball to really force you to have to make a play. Puts a lot of pressure on your pitcher, puts a lot of pressure on your catcher. Then all of a sudden they get on and they steal. They're just so multiple in what they do. And then at the same time, you see the Duke game, they can walk out and hit 3 home runs, and all of a sudden you're just like, what in the world just happened? You know, pitching-wise, obviously at the front of the rotation with Smith and Cooch Manor, you've got guys that are just veterans that have just done it over and over and over again. Sunday with Wiz and Hunt, that dude is special. The stings that are coming out of his hands, Pirate fans need to enjoy that one because he's gonna be making a lot of money. And I think if he continues the way he's going, people are gonna be watching him pitch on TV one day. He's special. And then you go down in the bullpen, and you know where we were just talking about Pap kind of being the grizzled veteran. You've got guys just like that at East Carolina, with, you know, Matt Bridges and, you know, Cole Moore, and obviously one of the younger guys, TJ Mayhew, who just comes out. He's just dynamic from the left side. They've got power stuff. They've got power breaking balls. They mix extremely well, you know, and, you know, they get swings out of the zone because their stuff is so good. And they're really, really multiple. They do really hard to defend, really hard to hit again. To walk you, they fill the zone up. It's gonna be a huge test for us this weekend, because I think the team that makes the fewest mistakes is gonna win.
A couple more questions for you. You know, just taking a look down the road, just talk about what the Mountaineers have ahead after this 3-game series against East Carolina. You know, non-conference wise, and also a very challenging Sun Belt schedule.
Yeah. Funny you ask that, because I know that we play Wilmington next weekend and we don't have a midweek. Beyond that, I could honestly not even tell you who we play. I've really tried hard to stay in the moment this year. One of the things that's obviously helping me stay in the moment is having a pregnant wife that could have a baby any day. So I do know we play Wilmington next week. Obviously, the Sun Belt is an extremely good league. I don't know who we open up with. I don't know where we open up, any of that. But we're blessed to be in a good league. It's going to be a heck of a challenge. It's going to be a heck of a challenge next week at Wilmington. Obviously, everybody in Eastern North Carolina knows the kind of program that they have. And we're excited to continue to get into it, but really excited to, I know it's going to sound cliche, but to get to the practice field tonight and finish final preparations for the Pirates this weekend.
Obviously, you're well aware of what Keith LeClair means to East Carolina baseball and just college baseball in general, for that matter. I know he means a tremendous amount to you. You wear the number 23. And so just talk about how special it is for you guys to play in the Keith LeClair Classic.
Yeah, so the first year we were at East Carolina was in the Keith LeClair. And It means a ton. A lot of people don't know more of the story. Obviously, just Coach LeClair, the East Carolina ties, all of that kind of stuff. Growing up in East Carolina, Pirate, you know, going to school there, following the program, was one big part of it. But then when we were at Lander University, Coach Smith and myself recruited JD, his son, and through that process, really got to know his wife, Lynn, and his daughter Audrey, and it's been a really good relationship since then. You know, I was actually texting with her earlier this week to find out if she's coming this weekend, and when we had our boys 3 years ago, her and Audrey sent baby clothes as a gift to us. So we've created a relationship with the family, and I think that's what makes it so special. Is it's so much more than just baseball. And for me personally, coming back this weekend is so much more than baseball as well. Yes, for the teams that are coming in, like our, as we've kind of shared the story with them a little bit of Coach LeClaire, but probably not going to mean as much to them as it does to the people in East North Carolina, as it does to the team at East Carolina. But this is really, really special for me personally to be able to come in and be a part of this weekend. To know what it means. Yes, baseball's on the forefront. We want to win, but this weekend and what Coach LeClaire stood for is so much bigger than baseball. And just really honored to get to walk in here and play in a stadium named after him, to play in a tournament named after him, and for what it means. And, you know, obviously following Audrey, you know, she's at medical school right now trying to become a doctor. And, you know, she's going to be the one, and I'm not saying this for 100%, but she's going to be one who's really going to move the needle. I really believe this. She's going to move the needle on helping finding a cure for ALS. She's dedicated her life to it. Know how much it means to her. She's obviously lived through it with her dad. And so this weekend's so much more than baseball. It's so important to get to, so exciting to get to be a part of this weekend and what it means, just because of Coach LeClaire.
Absolutely. Very well said. I really agree with your statement there regarding Audrey and what she's doing with her life now in med school, and, you know, committing her life to finding a cure for ALS as well as other things in the medical field. And I really have a lot of respect and admiration for her. And she's going to be part of the program tonight as well. I look forward to catching up with her. Had her on a couple times in the past, but really appreciate your time this afternoon. We'll let you get busy. We know, like you've mentioned a couple times, you'll be on the field at Clark LeClaire Stadium here within the next couple hours. But best of luck this season, and we look forward to having you back on down the road.
Appreciate it, Bubba. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate Britt Johnson coming on with us. Really appreciate Britt Johnson coming on with us, spending a half an hour with us this afternoon, previewing this weekend's matchup in the Keith LeClaire Classic. Also, of course, appreciate Audrey LeClaire and her time this evening, as always. Very well spoken, doing a tremendous job. And I really look forward to seeing her graduate from medical school here in the next few years. But right now, we'll go ahead and wrap up tonight's program. Really appreciate Dave and Kyle earlier. And I'm going to go ahead and get out of here and check out East Carolina and UCF on the hardwood. Pirates down early, 18-7. But we'll see. Maybe they can come from behind, and they have been playing with a lot of energy, just zero shots falling as they have just those 7 points, 8 minutes into the ball game. Remember to follow us on social media, on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at TheSportsObjective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Until next time, go Pirates.